Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody.
Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt with you here on a, it looks like right now in our Amherst studios, a beautiful Tuesday morning. The weather should be turning relatively soon here, so keep an eye on that.
It is, in fact, not going to be a beautiful afternoon.
It is not going to be a beautiful afternoon. Our sister station, 930 WBEN, will have you covered on all of that.
Zach, I saw our friend Patrick Hammer post a picture of the wall of snow that's coming across Lake Erie right now, and I just am thinking about 2 hours from now, driving through that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Super cool.
I'm sorry.
The wall might not be driving cool initially,
and then you're like, I have to go through that, or people are in that. Yeah,
it never looks cool to me. Unless I'm sitting in my house, and I've already snowblowed, and I'm just waiting to snowblow again. Then I'm like, oh, you know, that's pretty interesting. But right now, I'm like, no.
Yeah,
I don't want to see that. I don't want to be reminded of what's coming. Like, and it's just cold, man. Like, it is freezing outside.
Yeah, what is it? It's like 10 degrees outside right now? That's super,
fun
for everybody.
It was 6 degrees when I got up this morning, and it felt like negative 11. Walked outside, and I was very upset.
That is terrible. It does not sound like the weather, though, is going to be that bad in Kansas City this Sunday. It looks like it's going to be around the 30s, might be cloudy. I haven't seen if there's going to be any snow. I can't wait, man. I cannot wait. Bills are back in the AFC Championship for the first time since the 2020 season. It's the same team they beat to get there. It's the same team they're playing in that game. I can't wait. I think it's going to be different this year. It does feel different. I heard a little bit of Sneaky Joe and Jeremy talking about this morning. For me, I don't necessarily have any stats to back it up. I don't necessarily have any, like, you know, the games this year just – it just feels different. It feels like the Bills have sort of figured out how to play playoff football
in the modern age.
And they're doing it really, really well.
Like, also the fact that Kansas City is just – I mean, last year they said afterwards they were dragging themselves through games.
Yeah, this is not the Kansas City team of years past.
This year they're very much dragging themselves through games. So I'm – like, not only are the Bills playing a different style of football and they're playing better and they're playing just – there's just something different about it, right? But there's also just the vibe in Kansas City just feels so off. Even though it's like, oh, they were, you know, 15-2 or whatever. Realistically, they were 15-1 if you don't want to count the Broncos game at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't – I still cannot get past – and we've talked about this time and time again, but I can't get past – their record in one-score games, if it's flipped, they're like picking first overall this year.
It was them and the Bengals where it was like if you flip the one score game, the Bengals are the one seed and the Chiefs are like a 9-win team or something like that.
Not even. No.
Oh, no, that's right.
Maybe it was towards the end, but like for a while, it was like they were going to be like 2-12.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a lot to look at with the Chiefs team because they have drastically changed how they play football too, but not because they wanted to, but because they kind of have to, because of how much their roster has changed offensively specifically this past year and a half or so. I mean, their whole team compared to the first Super Bowl of this quote-unquote hopeful three-peat, like, that team is completely different from this team.
Mm-hmm.
That team had firepower. That team had, you know,
they had
speed.
They had flash.
Yeah. There was all this, like, wow, look at the Chiefs. They're so good. Oh, they won a Super Bowl. Awesome. Cool. And then they win again. Oh, well, that one was a lot harder, wasn't it? Yeah, it actually was. We didn't like doing any of it. Oh,
We kind of hated ourselves the entire way through.
Yeah, so it's like if you hate yourself last season when you're kind of still winning games handily, what's it going to be like this year where they're barely scraping by? Like, is that more of a unifying thing or is that more of a stress inducer?
I think it's a little bit of a stress thing, but I find the Bills and Chiefs are playing very similar football in the playoffs. They may be blowing.
Oh, yeah,
the Bills blew out Denver, don't get me wrong, but you look at the Baltimore Ravens game. It was just, we know you're going to make a mistake. We'll let you make a mistake.
We won't do it
to ourselves.
We will out-consistent you, essentially. Yeah. Like the Bills were more consistent than the Ravens, and they just had to keep that going until the Ravens weren't consistent. Because then, I mean, you can look at the second half. There was a lot of questionable things on the offense for the Bills, but it was more so like the Ravens had already made a mistake. Lamar Jackson threw that really bad interception.
Early on in the first half.
And that was like right there, like boom, all right, strike one. And then strike two is Von Miller almost returning a fumble for a touchdown. I mean, that was pretty cool.
That was fun.
Like those two things didn't happen bang bang, like, but it felt like it because of the way the Bills controlled the game. Like the Bills played the game exactly how you're supposed to against the Ravens. You neutralized Derrick Henry without even having to defend well against him. They did defend well against him, but they didn't have to because he wasn't on the field.
They had 16 rushing attempts.
Yeah, and they controlled the game so much that he couldn't be on the field, even when he wasn't subbed off for, catching a breath or whatever.
Yeah, and I guess kind of like to wrap up the thoughts on Baltimore, because, I mean, they won the game, and I'm much, much happier to be in a, quote-unquote, you-got-lucky win than a pretty loss. Where we're talking about, man, they play.
I don't
want to
take that for granted, though, because that does not happen. It never happens for us.
13 seconds was a pretty loss. Allen looked great. The offense was amazing. You still lost. I'll take an ugly, lucky win any day of the week, especially in the playoffs. But I will say this. The Bills beat a better team on Sunday. I think top to bottom, the Ravens are a better built roster than the Bills right now. Mm-hmm. It may not be true next year. That may not be true in the next few years. But I think right now, the Ravens had a better top-to-bottom roster. Their problem was they fluctuated too much between being nearly unstoppable, it felt like, to you lost to the Raiders. What is going on here?
Yeah.
It was too much of a variance. And the Bills took advantage of that. They took advantage of a team that in years past in the playoffs has turned the ball over. Zay Flowers last year, Mark Andrews this year. Lamar Jackson, many years in a row. They took advantage of it. And their running plays, as much as people were complaining the Bills didn't open up the passing game, I've seen the guys cover one the last 2 days really diving into this. The Bills' success rate on running the ball was in the 60% range for the entire first half and like 55 to 58% in the second half. They were doing just fine. There was a few passes that they tried to open up the offense. Allen just missed them. The Mac Collins won early in the game, I think the first drive.
Yeah, yep.
And then in the second half, I think that first drive as well, there's a pass to Dalton Kincaid, I think on either second or third down, that it's just too low.
It was second down.
Yeah, second down. It's too low. Kincaid, you could argue, should have caught it. Allen needs to make a better throw, though, to definitively. And you're still driving there. But the Bills killed the fourth quarter. They had almost 10 minutes of possession in the fourth quarter. And they make it an 8-point game. They make it to where Baltimore has to score and get the 2-point conversion just to tie the game. There's still a minute 30 left. You have two timeouts. You just need a field goal. You've already seen Bass make a 51-yarder, so you feel okay about that, I think, at least.
Yeah.
I'm happy with the win because you beat a team that you did not match up well with at all.
Yeah.
At all.
The time of possession is kind of what gets to me, too, because so I was at the game. First of all, that was a crazy experience.
Was that fun?
Yeah. Going to a playoff game, like that was my first ever playoff game for a Buffalo sports team, so that was cool. But just I like, you know, looking up at the scoreboard every once in a while, seeing like what stats they have rolling mm-hmm. along the board. The one that always I kept my eye on was the time possession and which team had more time possession. And I think that in this game specifically for Bills Ravens, that was like, if you win that, you'll win the game. If you win, and that's kind of the case for most games, but specifically against the Ravens because of how well they run the ball, if you win the time of possession game, you've got them beat.
Yeah.
And I don't think that will be the same in this game. Again, like, if you have more possession, you'll probably win the game regardless.
Yeah, but it's kind of across the board.
But
yeah.
At the same time, like we were talking about with 13 seconds, if you score quickly, if you score too quickly sometimes, you give the other team time to kind of set up drives and go on long drives and kill the clock and control the game, where, sure, you can go down the field and score in, you know, 3 minutes,
mm-hmm.
but is that really good for the game overall? Is that good for your team's success overall? So I do think that it'll matter in this game, but not as much as it did against Baltimore. I just thought that was an interesting thing to keep an eye on this past game, was just seeing how much time the Bills were eating. And yeah. I think that was really important in this one. I don't think it's going to be as important in the next one.
No, because I think they match up way better against Kansas City. This is a team they've seen a lot. This is not a team.
They can control the game in a different way.
Yeah, they can control the game in a different way. I think as well, they can pass the ball a little bit more. You could tell that Baltimore was really going to make sure you had to run on us. And the Bills are a far different team from years past, where the offensive line is playing at truly an elite level. And the running game is playing at a really, really good level, if not elite level as well.
Ray Davis
is awesome. Ty Johnson, you get a lot of work from. James yep. Cook is a number one back in this league. They're just doing everything well. They're not perfect,
yeah.
but they're doing everything well, and they're making timely plays, and they have a lot of players that seem to have a knack for the ball to get turnovers, whether it be DeMar Hamlin, Taylor Rapp, Terrell Bernard. They have guys that just have a nose for the ball, and it's working, and it keeps working. So like, I'm at a point now with regardless, two games left, the turnovers are working. I guess they're going to stay, or I have to at least assume they're going to have a game plan surrounded, I guess, by those. Because mm-hmm. at this point, I'm not going to assume now they're going to go away. They haven't. Baltimore didn't give away the ball this year. They did three times.
Yeah.
They were very yeah. good at not giving the ball away, and then they did.
Well, and another to that point, though, Howard brought this up on Howard Picks the Bills this morning. Patrick Mahomes has not thrown an interception since he did against the Bills in Week 11.
Yeah, it was Terrell Bernard's pick to end the game.
Yep. So take that for what you will. I mean, granted, you got to also remember who the Chiefs have played this year sometimes, because looking at their schedule, there's times where you're like, yeah, there's a reason why they're, you know, 15-2. I mean, mm-hmm. after the Bills, they played the Panthers, the Raiders, the Chargers, the Browns, the Texans, the Steelers, the Broncos. Like, yeah. And he didn't play, and Mahomes didn't play against the Broncos. So, like, when you look at those teams, you're kind of thinking, like, okay, it kind of makes sense he hasn't thrown an interception since the Bills game. But at the same time, it is kind of something to take note of. I mean, mm-hmm. right? Like, there's definitely things that they've changed since Week 11, just like
Hollywood
the Bills
have. Brown.
Right.
He's back
yeah.
on the roster.
And Pacheco as well, Isaiah Pacheco. Yep. But he wasn't really a factor against the Chiefs.
And
against the Texans,
he hasn't really been a factor yeah. really since getting back.
But Hollywood Brown, though, I do think that's.
He
was also not a factor against the Texans. Wow, he had nothing.
I like how the Bills match up really, really well against Kansas City. I think there is mm-hmm. a feeling that yeah. they don't really get concerned with Arrowhead anymore. They've been there enough. They've won there, yes, in the regular season, but they've won there. They've handled that crowd. They've handled that team there. And this team, there's a sense of calmness about them. It's a small video. It's a little thing, but the Sean McDermott giving his victory speech, and I think a lot of people have seen it on Twitter, but like Josh Allen's like sitting there waiting to clap
yeah.
with like a childlike grin on his face,
and then
he starts clapping the moment McDermott like takes a second to pause
yeah.
to wrap it up. Like, there's just a sense of calmness with this team that there didn't seem to be for the last few years, whether it be off-season stuff or even in-season drama. Dan Graziano, he was the ESPN reporter covering Bills Ravens, and he had mentioned that in years prior, Bills players were telling him that there was like a sense of, I don't think he said chaos was necessarily the word, but there was this sort of kind of like, it was not a sense of calmness at all. There was a little bit yeah. of like running around with your head cut off kind of feel.
They were stirring. Yeah.
and to be fair, looking at some of the decisions they made, you could tell with 13 seconds or A.J. Klein's going to play over Dorian Williams and we're just going to hope and pray here. In Cincinnati, they look completely out of sorts. And really that whole season towards the end kind of collapsed around them, whether it be, you know, moving games, the DeMar Hamlin incident, everything. There is none of that this year.
Right.
There was none of that. The only thing I'm now honestly worried about is some of the injuries from yesterday. Mm-hmm. Matt Milano, it's sort of mysterious. We don't really know what's going on there. McDermott even sounded like he had no idea. Christian Benford's in concussion protocol. Taylor Rapp, while he was put on a cart to leave the game, is day-to-day with a hip injury. So
I think that was more of a precautionary thing, because if you have a hip injury, they're not going to want you to walk
out. It's the same thing in training camp now, too, where like everyone gets carted off, and they're like, it was just kind of had a cramp. We just didn't really want him to walk.
Right.
It's like, oh, that makes sense.
Well, because you didn't on the field, you're never going to know how minor or major it is. So you don't want them to potentially aggravate it if they're walking on it or if
especially if it's
whatever.
A long walk.
Right.
I always remember the Trevor Lawrence when he had, I think it was an ankle injury or it was a lower body injury, and they had him walk the entire way through the locker room. And it's just this slow patient. Whoa. What is going on there, guys? Get him on a cart. Where's the golf cart? I always remember that. So, yeah, it could be more precaution, but we all know with the cart, it is typically not a good sign.
No,
but he's day-to-day.
But if he's day-to-day, that's completely different.
That's very exciting there.
Yeah.
Benford, concussion protocol. We went through this last week with Bray Davis. I can't really see the play he picked it up on. I keep hearing that it was during the onside kick.
I didn't see anything. I saw the video slowed down, so I'm going to do my best to describe it for you here. So, basically, when the line came together after the ball was kicked off, Benford was on the line, and the player that came through on the Ravens kind of like hit him in like the ear hole of his helmet.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of like almost not sideswiped him, but like their helmets collided on like the sides of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of one of those hits where it wasn't like directly to the head, but it was like just kind of clipped him on his way by, but clipped him enough where it's like you're definitely getting your ears rung because it's right in your ear. So that's the video I saw. It was tough to tell, too, because it was in slow motion, so I don't know how fast it was actually going. But he definitely, like, kind of, like, you know, fell back a little bit. Like, whoa. Like,
It's one of those.
That's the only thing I could see. Maybe that wasn't it, but I'm assuming that was probably the one that caused it.
But we're hoping for him. Now, I will say, every player is different, but Ray Davis, it was a violent collision, and it seemed like he was knocked out. He was back in 6 days and was making crucial plays. You hope now with Benford not being really a violent hit at all, you hope in the next few days you see good signs, but he's going to be important. I think the idea of maybe Kyer Elam having to be one of your starting corners against Kansas City, that would be one of the few things that genuinely gives me pause.
Yeah, a little bit.
In terms of my confidence levels are high. You got through the one team I did not think you could get through in the playoffs. I picked the Ravens, and they got through them. Now, I thought you matched up incredibly well with Kansas City. I think you match up really well against Philadelphia and Washington, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just get the last monkey off your back. I mean, that's really what it is. Just get the last thing off your back. You had a year in transition. You played well. Allen continues to reinvent himself. I've seen Nate Geary talk a lot about this as well on Twitter. He goes from a guy that isn't accurate, then he changes that. Now he's accurate. Now he goes from a guy that keeps turning the ball over, and now he's maybe the most protective player of the ball in the NFL. And he keeps doing that. He's playing smart. He's taking what the defense is giving him. They're playing at such a level right now. It does feel different. 2020, I heard Jeremy talk about this, and I couldn't agree more, because 2020 for me, Josh, was a lot of like, ooh, things are happening. This is really cool. You know, you get the first playoff win since it was like 95 or something like that. It wasn't just the playoffs. It was now the first playoff win. You get that over the Colts. It was close. Then you beat Baltimore. 17-3, the Taron Johnson pick six. And at that point, like, it just – everything felt so new. It felt so fresh. It's, you know, to me especially, I don't want to say this like this, but it kind of felt like AFC championships were just going to be a given at that point. It really did.
Right, right.
And then the last 3 years have happened. And it's been divisional round exit after divisional round exit after divisional round exit.
Which I do want to address the first one of those, the 13 seconds one.
Mm-hmm.
That one, it always gets jumbled in my brain because it felt like an AFC championship game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it really did. And I don't want to, you know, be that guy that's saying, like, oh, well, it actually kind of was. But it did. Everything but the title of the game would have said that this is the AFC championship game.
Yeah, everything. Because
then,
would have.
Well, I guess, actually, then next week, Kansas City goes on to lose, but still.
But like, it took a historically, for them, historically bad second half performance for Cincinnati to get them.
I do think that, like, you could still kind of have that mindset of, like, AFC championships are a given, but the past 3 years give you pause on that because of the fact that that you go into every single season kind of expecting this team to go to the Super Bowl now, and then you get to the same point every year, and it's like, okay, what are we doing wrong? And it's seemingly figured out this year.
I think they beat a better team than them. I think they beat a better team top to bottom. They're not playing as a cohesive unit as good as the Bills.
Right.
So what I'm saying is I think talent-wise, top to bottom, I think Baltimore's better. I think Baltimore's better than most teams in the NFL.
I'll agree to a point. I don't – like, if they were fully healthy, their wide receivers probably would be better than most. But, like, at this point for me, like, their offense, the only thing they have is – Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. Sure, their offensive line didn't have a penalty all game, I don't think. Maybe they had one. But all season, their offensive line was having issues with penalties and
well, the second problems. Most penalized team in football, yeah.
So I can't even say their offensive line is that good. But they have Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, and kind of Mark Andrews, and I'm not knocking him for the game. I'm knocking him for the whole season because he was up and down and up and down and up and down.
Well, by the end of the year, though, he was up. 10 touchdowns. I mean, he ended the year on a run.
But still, it's not like that. That's like I'll hold pause on their offense. Their defense was great. Like their defense is legit. They took some time to figure it out in the beginning of the season, but they are good.
And once they figured it out, all they had to do was move Kyle Hamilton down.
Yeah, yeah.
They just moved his position
all over the place.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
He is really good.
And that's my thing is I think they beat a team they did not match up well against.
That
was the issue with Cincinnati. You didn't match up well against Cincinnati, and they blew you out.
To your initial point, they are much better than the Bills on paper in terms of like just players overall. I wanted to just bring that up because I just don't think that they're not necessarily as good as people are saying, but like they're not all over good. The Eagles, I think, are the all over good. If the Lions are healthy, the Lions are very good.
That's the variance. They're two up and down, and the Bills got them. The Bills played to that game plan. If you're going to screw up, we're not going to do it.
And
we're
going to
play our game. You're going to screw up.
And that's how you beat a better team, regardless of who you are. Look at Washington. Washington's kind of played that same style. I mean, they're a little more run and gun, but Washington's
but a plus +5 turnover differential.
Right. They're the same way. It's like we're going to play our way until you screw up, and then we're going to control the game our way. Like we're going to play your game until you screw up, and then we're going to control the game our way. Like that's kind of Washington's whole MO this offseason, and they've gotten themselves to the NFC Championship game. I mean, who would have thought they got out of the wild card round? Not you. You picked them to lose.
They won four games last year. Overall, their talent level's not that good.
I know.
And then it was like, oh, okay.
Well, it's Jaden Daniels. He has been phenomenal for
Jaden Daniels and adults in the room and in the coaching staff. That's really kind of all it takes.
And as much as Cliff Kingsbury sucks as a head coach, he's not that bad as a coordinator.
As much as I'll complain about him, he's kind of got as a coordinator.
He's one of those guys where it's like, you could just stay a coordinator and have a really good coaching career. Like
Spags.
Yeah.
Spagnuolo. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the first name that comes to mind for me. Like it's just I think that both the Bills and the Commanders, like they're on very different levels in terms of where they're supposed to be. But I think they can play the same exact way, where it's we're going to play the game, and then once we control it by a turnover, we're going to play it our way. Like that's and granted, like I said, they're very different styles of play, but it's the same concept.
It's just the Bills are so disciplined this year; they don't take a lot of penalties. They control the tempo of a game.
How'd you feel about seeing the highlight of Allen's almost lateral?
That's what I'm talking about, though. Like discipline. Like years past, Allen's going to pitch that ball back.
I think maybe it's a disaster. A few months ago, he might have pitched it back.
But it becomes a disaster of a play. Instead, he's like, "No, I'm going to maybe fumble this. We'll take it."
You know what? Part of me thinks I think he could have actually done it. A small part of me is like, I wonder if he would have actually been able to pull it off.
It's the discipline of it's playoff football. It's almost never pretty because you're playing teams that are equal to, if not better than you. And you have to just kind of hunker down. And the teams that every team that lost in the division round outgained their opponent. Every one of them. 0-4. It's about tightening up. It's about keeping the ball. It's about time of possession. It's about making the key plays at the key times. It's about getting lucky.
Yeah.
It's what I've said for years. And the Bills are finally getting lucky. They get a Ravens team that hasn't turned the ball over much all year. Three of them. Key drops by them as well. The Mark Andrews fumble. It's a great play by Bernard, but that's his first fumble since 2019. You can't bank on that.
But it also was a little bit of luck as well.
Yeah.
Like if you look at that replay, that ball is starting to roll towards Andrews, and Bernard somehow has the sense to just jump on it after he just fell on the ground, hitting Mark Andrews at almost full speed. It does. Like, you're right. Luck plays a lot into it. Like Lamar Jackson falling down, and then Greg Rousseau just coming over and tapping him for a sack. Like,
oh yeah, he slips. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
so that's before the fumble. That's like just before the fumble.
Yeah,
like he falls and he loses his footing. Regular season Lamar Jackson doesn't do that. And I'm not saying that's playoff Lamar, but I'm saying that's like,
you just don't see that.
Tensions
ever.
Are high, pressure's on, and there he goes.
Yep.
Like, it just happens sometimes.
803-0550, the number to call, kind of the topic of the day. What do you think the Bills need to do to finally get past Kansas City in the playoffs? We gave our thoughts there on Baltimore. We'll now turn our attention to Kansas City. We'll get to your calls after a quick timeout. We'll also read some tweets as well. Zach Jones and Josh Mann here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Well, there's a delicate balance there, no doubt. You know, at the end of the day, you want to do what helps you win the most, run or pass. So I think just trying to create a good game plan week to week that's going to give you the best chance to win, and then adjusting through the course of the game based on how you're being defended, and also then again what's working. So, and that's kind of the week to week, you know, approach, I guess you would say.
There's Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott yesterday with the media. I like how he put that as well. As, you know, going through the course of the game, I've seen a lot of the guys on Cover One, namely Eric Turner, talking about the success rates from the first half to the second half. The Bills' passing game really, it was not as successful, you know, success rates as their running game. The run game in the first half was like 61-62%. It only fell to like 57%. It made sense why they kept running. And there were a few throws they had that Allen and the receivers just didn't complete, namely on that first drive of the second half, the one to Dalton Kincaid on second down that would have kept that going. It wouldn't have been a three and out. And you never know. I mean, you get one first down, you keep going. It's the same we talk about penalties. A drive could be happening, you get one holding call, all of a sudden it derails the drive. Sort of the same thing on, you know, second and nine or whatever it was, second and eight. You miss that pass, you're in a rough spot. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt hanging with you here until 12 o'clock. We are on to Kansas City. We'll, of course, always be talking about the Baltimore game. It's one of the better playoff wins the Bills have had in recent memory. They're on to the AFC Championship game. But on that, what do the Bills need to do to finally get past Kansas City in the playoffs? They've had zero issue beating them in the regular season. They've done it 4 years in a row. They did it week 11 this year. But they always seem to fall short in the playoffs. Three of the last four playoff trips for the Bills have ended against Kansas City, the only outlier there being Cincinnati 2 years ago. And we go to the phones now, and first up today is Tom on the line. Tom, how are we doing?
Hey, good morning. So I think it's pretty simple. In my opinion, the key to the game is going to be just like it was for the Ravens. It's going to be takeover ratios on par. Between the two teams, Kansas City's the better team, and they're playing at home. So if they can't win the takeover battle, I think Kansas City wins by at least two touchdowns. I'll hang up, and thank you.
Tom, thanks for the call. I don't know about the two touchdowns. I don't think they're that much better than the Bills.
No, I really don't. Say, I honestly think the Bills are the better team.
Yeah, I ultimately, the turnover battle is key. I don't disagree. But if it's 0-0, I don't think the Chiefs are winning by two touchdowns. I just don't see that. I think the Bills' wide receivers match up better against Kansas City's secondary. I think the run game as well, the Bills can't get going. The Chiefs really cannot all that much.
Yeah, I mean, this past week against the Texans, and you know, obviously you can't compare every team to the Bills, but at the same time, the Texans are they have a good defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs had a total of 50 rushing yards. It's kind of negated.
Against Houston?
It's a little negated because Matt Araiza counts in there as well because he was the punter on the play where he runs back and just jumps out of the end zone.
Yep.
So there is negative 18 there, but 44 yards for Kareem Hunt, 18 yards for Isaiah Pacheco. 3.6 yards per carry for Pacheco. It's not good.
No, neither him or Kareem Hunt have been good. Kareem Hunt, though, has been the better of the two.
Which is kind of crazy, but even then, Kareem Hunt only had 5.5 yards per carry. So if you think about what the Bills held the Ravens to this past week, which was what, like five something per carry for across the whole team, it's not that scary. I don't like, especially when you're looking at you're going from Derrick Henry, and to be fair, it's funny. I was thinking about it during the game that one caller from Baltimore that called in last week talked about Justice Hill and how we kind of discovered he is basically Baltimore's Ty Johnson.
Yeah,
Justice Hill was actually really good.
He's very good.
He was like kind of like when he was getting more of the carries, he was kind of scaring me a little bit.
Six for 50.
Yeah. I thought he was going to do a lot more. But when you go from him and Derrick Henry to Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco, that's a very stark contrast. Like, they are two completely different teams in terms of the running game.
Mm-hmm.
So that right there alone already changes how your game plan works. Yeah,
the Bills really sold out on the run game. Right, they were like, you will not beat us running the ball.
Yeah, because we were talking about before the show, I was really disappointed with how Christian Benford played. Like, not to say he played bad, but like, we've seen so many great performances from Christian Benford that I was just expecting that to either, you know, remain the same or go up, because it's a playoff game, it's a big game against a good team. He's a great player. He's going to step up to that. The only reason he didn't look as good is, well, not the only reason, but part of the reason why, I think, is because of the fact that he was kind of the only one back there. It was like him and sometimes Taylor Rapp, because everyone else was up. Everyone else was protecting the run.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say, you know, he can't do it on his own, but when you're covering like two or three guys, or have the potential to cover two or three guys. Like,
but it also tells you, too, or shows you how good Baltimore is at running the football, because in the second half, they did start to wear down the Bills' defense. They did.
Yeah.
The one drive early in the third quarter, when they were able to score and really kind of stress everybody out, they just ran the ball.
Yep.
They just ran the ball. And that's the thing. They were not a good matchup for the Bills. I think Kansas City's a far better matchup. And as well, if you look at both offenses, too, for the Bills in Week 11, Keon Coleman didn't play. He was dealing with a wrist injury. Amari Cooper plays with a whole cast on his hand.
And catches the ball with the cast.
But he's dealing with that wrist injury. But then on the flip side as well, we've mentioned it for Kansas City. They didn't have Hollywood Brown, and they didn't have Isaiah Pacheco. There is differences there. The Bills also didn't have Spencer Brown. These are different teams, but I think the Bills have handled them well. The Bills know how to handle them. They know how to beat them. They know how to keep these games close. That's a thing, too. I don't know how you think this game is going to be two scores. They're never two scores.
Right.
They're always very close.
And the Chiefs, I mean, they haven't scored over 30 points this entire season. They scored 30 one time.
They've hit 30
the Buccaneers.
Once. Yep. And on that point, we do have a number of fans tweeting in as well. And Drew tweets in, score more than 30, a mark the Chiefs haven't reached all season.
Yeah. Yep. It's as simple as that. I mean, obviously, it's, you know, they could score 30 any game, but at the same time, like,
sure.
They've done it once all year, and they haven't surpassed 30 once all year. So I think if you can just kind of contain them and keep them to what they've been doing, honestly, just let their offense do what it does and what it has done, and they won't score more than 30.
Yeah.
If they score 20, okay. The Bills have scored 30 how many times this season?
I mean, they went on a run,
it was like 7 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
There was no stopping the Bills' offense. They could just score 30 at will. It started against the Titans, and it didn't stop until the Patriots game.
That's the first Patriots game. Yeah, never mind. Yeah. That's right. Yep.
But even then, that first Patriots game, they probably could have scored one. They could have scored one more, I think. I'm not saying that you know you just
yeah, but I mean then you know the Jets game, the next game they put up 40.
Right, with their starters. The starters were out after the first half.
So, I mean, the offense has shown more times than not this year that they can put points up on basically anybody. Against Denver, against one of the better secondaries, Allen threw for 275. I think they had a very deliberate game plan specifically for Baltimore. I expect almost none of the same things for this Chiefs game. So it's why it's tough for me to look at the Baltimore game and then like put anything into what they'll do with Kansas City, because I think it was a very specific game plan for a very specific team.
I think the one thing though that you could take from both of these games is the continuation of the run game, because those two teams, Denver and Baltimore, the two teams in the playoffs the Bills would beat, they are the top two teams in terms of rush defense. They're the best rushing defenses in the NFL this season, and the Bills ran all over both of them. Like, it was that was really good.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs are a good team, and they have a great defense. Like, Chris Jones is unbelievable.
Spags is...
Spags is one of the best defensive coordinators.
People are making
a
legitimate
league.
Argument that he'll be the first assistant coach to be put in the Hall of Fame. So.
Yeah. But you look at that defense compared to the last two the Bills have had to face, and it's not better.
No.
It's differently constructed, but at the same time, I still think that run game could still be a very big part of the game. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be as much as it was against Baltimore, but I do think it's going to be crucial. It's going to be very important for the Bills to establish that
We're not going to have a similar game to Sunday where Allen had 7 passing attempts in the first half. I would be stunned by that.
Right.
Because they don't need to just rely on the run. They don't have to play only time of possession. They did a lot of that last year as well in the playoff game due to how bad their linebackers were. Mm-hmm. It was more the idea of we can't have the defense on the field that much.
Right.
We can't.
Right.
We can't cover Kelsey. We can't cover any of these guys because we've got A.J. Klein back there. He was on his couch a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be, hopefully, they're not going to be in that same spot where it's like our defense just can't be on the field. Do they want the offense on the field more? Yeah, of course. But it's not going to be to the same extent it was against Baltimore. Let's go back to the phones here. Zach is up next. Zach, how are we doing today?
What's up, guys? Nice to talk to you here. I think on Sunday, maybe a smaller detail, but something important in my eyes that I think they've struggled with throughout the year, despite, you know, having won so many games and scored so many points. I'd like to see them a little more willing to come off of their game script if something isn't working. You know, last week they stuck to the run for a while and it was working, and then they really stalled out in the third quarter, which we've all seen certainly. But I think this Chiefs team is just like, once you hit a bit of a hurdle, a roadblock, you've got to be willing to change your, specifically on offense, you've got to be willing to change your offense at least a little bit. Now, I think if you keep running to the well for too long, then, you know, those mistakes start to happen to your team, and that's how kind of the Chiefs win a lot of football games for, you know, relying on your team to make mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
So mm-hmm. I think, yeah, so you've got to be willing to change it up a little bit in the face of adversity, if you will, here.
Yeah, Zach, thanks for the call. And that's why I am now going to start comparing Buffalo to Kansas City and how they play the games. Both teams are kind of just waiting for you to mess up, and then they're going to pounce on you. I'm not going to say the Bills have figured out the NFL. I've kind of been throwing that around off the air with a lot of friends. But, like, it's sort of how it feels. It seems like they have figured out that in the playoffs especially, it's not about flash. It's about substance. And it may be boring. It may be just like, oh, come on, let's go. Let's, you know, but that's what it is. You know, I'm not one that's going to bang the drum on Ben Johnson screwed up on the play call to let Jameson Williams throw, into double coverage. Jameson Williams, don't throw into double coverage. But also maybe don't call a trick play.
Yeah.
You know, don't put your players in that position. They're not always going to work. Some of them do. They had the double pitch that was awesome as Amon-Ra St. Brown went up the middle of the field. But there's also that. The Bills never got themselves in that problem. On getting off, though, the game plan and what's not working, the Bills did try to do that in the third quarter. To start start the second half, they run on first down with James Cook. Then it's the two straight passes, the one to Dalton Kincaid that's low, and then Allen, I believe, throws it away on 3rd and 9. To the next drive, they start with 3 straight passes to Cook, to Shakir, to Samuel. James Cook rushed for no yards. Allen then passed to Shakir for 5 yards. Incomplete to Dawson Knox. They punt it.
I remember that Knox play, though. I was really frustrated with that one. It was like a bubble screen to Knox.
But, I mean, they went to the passing game. It wasn't working.
Right, but there's a point to that, though, because I'm happy that they went to the passing game, but it's the certain plays in the certain moments, right? Like, mm-hmm. there's a time and place.
The bubble screen to Knox.
Right. There's a time and place to use these screen plays and things like that. 3rd and 5 is not one of them.
Well, from what I heard on the broadcast, that was Allen checking out of a play.
Oh,
and
okay.
There's a blitz coming. I got to go to this. And the Ravens fooled Josh a few times.
Because mm-hmm.
there was a number of also option plays that he had where he just makes the wrong read.
Yeah, I remember there was one where it looks like, or no, I'm sorry. I was thinking of a Lamar play, actually. There was a Lamar read option where he was giving it to Henry, and he actually like yanked it out of his hands. Like, wait a second, I want this. And
yeah.
It was like, whoa, what are you doing? But regardless, like, I do like that they try to shift in mm-hmm. game, and I think that's something that it's a little harder to do against Baltimore just because of how they play the game. But we've talked about it before. They match up so well against Kansas City that I think they know what they're doing because it's the same old, like it's the same kind of team that they've always had to face against Kansas City. And they know how to kind of game plan it. They know how to have backups and mm-hmm. things ready to go. If, hey, plan A is not working, let's go to plans B through D. Like, we've got time. Like, let's figure it out here. You know, like there's a lot of different things that they can go down, the avenues they can go down because they know how to game plan against this team. They've played them so many times. They played, 10 times in the last 5 years, I think it was the graphic or something like that.
Yeah, it's been a lot.
Yeah.
It's been a lot.
A little too much for my liking.
Everything is exactly equal, 5 wins to 5 wins.
Yeah, even like the yardages and everything.
Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah, but like that's my point.
Get them
like,
once in the playoffs, man.
Right, but that's my point. Is like you're going to have, you know, the ability to change the script throughout the game, even from quarter to quarter, not just at halftime. Because we always see the Bills pick it up at halftime.
Well, and that's my thing, too. I don't want to harp too much on the Baltimore game as like, well, the Bills got to get off the script. The Bills are the second best team in terms of points per game in the third quarter of any team. They score 8.2 points in the third quarter on average. That's only behind Detroit, 8.8.
Yeah.
They have been exceptional coming out of half and scoring and leaning on teams. And all of a sudden you go from, it's a slow start. They didn't look that good. And, oh, okay, they're up 14. Okay.
Right, but
I guess we're fine. They've done
game,
really good. There was execution problems.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's what it was. There were execution problems to start the third quarter. It didn't cost them, but it got close.
Right. And at the end of the day, like, you're only going to talk about it and worry about it if it costs you. I mean, Sure, it's a thing to keep an eye on, but out of all the games this season, how many games did we say, you know, oh, they came out of the second half flat, like they're not firing in the third quarter?
Almost never.
Yeah,
it was the first quarter that we were always kind of like,
right.
Oh no.
I still remember the first game of the season when it was the Arizona Cardinals, and it was like, guys, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And then they came out in the third quarter and they scored, I think, twice in one quarter, like right out of the half. So it's not that big of a concern for me because they can get back to their consistencies here against, again, a similar opponent that they've matched up well against in the past. So
Bill scored 14 in the third quarter.
Yeah.
10 in the second to make it 17-10, and then 14 in the third to take a lead. They come out of halftime incredibly good. They're a very good adjusting team. Just execution problems, I think, ultimately is kind of what hurt you in that third quarter. And then the fourth quarter, they were fine. They basically killed out the fourth quarter. Their defense gave up a long drive. But again, the Bills had put themselves in a position that, sure, you get the two-point conversion. Great. It's only tied. We have a minute 30 and two timeouts, and Josh Allen just needs to get a field goal. 803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones and Josh Mann hanging with you here until 12 o'clock. We're talking, what do the Bills need to do to finally get past Kansas City in the playoffs? We're also talking about the win over Baltimore as well. It's only Tuesday. We can still relish in it a little bit. This is WGR.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Top Sirloin Steak, $4.99 per pound. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Exclusive digital deal of the week. Lucerne shredded, sliced, or chunk cheese, 6.84 to 8 ounce varieties, $1.97 each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt hanging with you here until 12 o'clock. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And we have been getting connected to our fans. And when we do that, it is brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. And we are going to keep doing that as next up on the phones is Nathan. Nathan, how are we doing today?
Pretty good. A little sick, but, you know, didn't get to work today. But two key points. First of all, in the Ravens game, I'm a little concerned where the ball was placed at the 2.5 yard line. I really feel that Josh Allen actually made it to the 1 yard line, which then would have resulted in a tush push for us going up 31 to whatever they had.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I just feel that the refs actually screwed up on that, and also McDermott. He probably should have thrown the red flag just after that play. He actually calls a timeout. So why wouldn't you just, you know, throw the red flag and review it and see exactly where Josh Allen was? Because he was horizontal. It's not placed where his knee hit. It's placed where the ball is. And it was definitely down at the one.
Nathan, thanks for the call. I didn't hear anything throughout the game of they should challenge it. I heard the exact opposite, that he maybe even lost a yard or lost a little bit. He didn't gain anything. And him calling the timeout, McDermott has people in the booth that are telling him to challenge or not. So if he's not challenging, they're telling him not to. And ultimately, I think the Bills saw it more important. If we kick the field goal, we're up 8. Even if they score and get the 2 points, all it is tied. There was more than enough time there. They're probably savoring the timeouts with the idea that if we do give up the touchdown, the 2 point, we'll have more than enough time to potentially put our own drive together and kick a field goal. For me, it just didn't seem like he got really anywhere. Yeah, I had no issues with them not challenging, because honestly, I didn't see anything that day, you know, in the broadcast or on Twitter that said anything different to what I saw, which is, at worst, he didn't gain anything.
It is funny, because when that field goal goes, like when they decide to go for the field goal, I was
very nervous. I was very nervous.
I was stressing, though, because I did the math wrong. I thought they were only going up by like 6 or 7, and I'm like, guys, what are we doing? This is the field goal of death. What are we doing? Like, but then after the score goes up on the scoreboard, I'm like, oh, never mind. We're good.
Like, I was more nervous at the idea of I didn't like overtime. I did not like the idea of overtime.
Yeah,
it felt like the Ravens' offense had come alive. The Bills' defense had kind of done all it could.
Mm-hmm.
The offense needed to score a little bit
more.
You were
at the end of your rope.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I thought you were at the end of your rope.
You kind of played all of like your, hey, we got the turnovers. Hey, we got lucky.
But then
let's get out of the game.
But then there was that feeling, even when they scored, where it was like, okay, like but I would much rather be the Bills in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, it'd be nice if you're a Ravens fan, they tie it, and you're like, okay, we can get it to overtime. But there was too much time left on the clock, and you gave Josh Allen at home too much time,
yeah,
and only needing a field goal to win that game. It wasn't like all of a sudden.
And Bassett already made a 51-yarder that day.
Yeah, so I was feeling a little bit better. With that being said, I didn't like where we were.
I was
not feeling great. And then, you know, of course, the Mark Andrews drop happens, and then it's just like, all right, get a first down. There we go. Just get a first down. And then it's, what, the first play?
Ty Johnson goes for like 20 yards.
11 or something like that, yeah.
It felt like 20.
But
like,
yeah, I think it was like 11-yard run. He gets the first down, and the game's over. I can understand the feeling, because, I mean, McDermott kind of outright said it. If they were on like the 1 yard line, he was going to potentially go for it there. More my issue was shotgun on third down.
Yeah, that really bothered me.
I was more like just tush push. Your offensive line's done a great job at pushing forward. Just do that. 803-0550, the number to call. David, we'll get to you if you hang on here after this quick timeout. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here for another hour. This is WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
go into every game sometimes with an idea how you think the game is going to go and what it's going to take to win. And I believe that we have an offense that we're able to win in different ways. Sometimes getting a feel of how the game's going, you know, might dictate potentially changes or sticking to something. And we have that ability to make the adjustments. And, you know, I felt the way that the game was going, that controlling the football and being able to run the ball was giving us opportunity. And that was nothing against Josh or anything like that. We obviously had some opportunities in the past game. And, you know, we got behind the chains a little bit in the second half that made life a lot harder for us. But specifically in the first half, it felt like, you know, controlling the line of scrimmage was in our favor yesterday.
Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady talking about the ebb and flows of a game where they kind of fell, and I agree, they fell behind the sticks a little bit in the second half. They weren't able to get the passing game going, I think, to maybe to the extent they wanted to. Some miscues, some misfires. It happens. They won the game. I don't care. Especially because they're going to be setting up a different game plan for the Chiefs. It is not the same team that they were playing against Baltimore, and I can't wait. It's a rematch of 2020. And Josh, we're talking a little bit there right in the break about how different things kind of are now from 2020. 2020 was so fresh, it was so new for the Bills. The Chiefs, even, it was still kind of fresh. They'd only won their first Super Bowl in 2019. They ultimately are going to lose in 2020 to Tampa Bay, but they, you know, they had just won in 2019. There's still this kind of new feeling of like, yeah, the Chiefs unstoppable, maybe. Oh, the Bills. I think the Bills, though, look unbelievable, and then it is ultimately a blowout. So there was that feeling, but it was so fresh and so new. Now, if the Bills get past the Chiefs to go to their first Super Bowl under Allen, the first Super Bowl since the early 90s, and if they win it, which we've seen the kind of early sports books for the Super Bowl matchups, both AFC teams will be favored against either matchup. There is kind of this cool, fun legacy thing that is going to happen for potentially an Allen Super Bowl win this year, where, you know, he'll be the first guy. I mean, we talk about it a lot, where in like the last 8 years, there's been three quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls: Tom Brady, Matt Stafford once, and Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen joins a very exclusive club.
Yeah.
A very exclusive club. He also, again, this is if he wins it, and so I'm getting a little bit far ahead, but, you know, all of a sudden, the greats, Fran Tarkington, Dan Marino, who never did it, Allen gets past him. He also joins the likes of Brett Favre, who only won one, made it to two, but only won one.
Yeah.
You know, he joins him, and then all of a sudden, I think for a lot of us too, like, the rest of the accolades don't matter. And it kind of won't matter for Allen's pedigree either.
No.
Allen, I think, the
MVP is great and all, but Super Bowl matters more.
Superman matters way more. And to that extent too, I'd say if Allen wins a Super Bowl this year and Super Bowl MVP, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I think that conversation is done as well.
Well, think about Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Brees, yeah.
Yeah. But I also think that not only is it the fact that, like, good for him, he gets all the wins, the team as a whole, and Sean McDermott too especially, they all kind of like break the stigma, especially the guys that have been here. Because there's not, I'm trying to think of all the guys that have been here the whole time Allen has been here, and it's Dion and
Milano
and
kind of getting long in the tooth after that.
About it.
It's what this year was about, was transitioning to a younger core.
Is there anybody else that's been here? That's kind of crazy. I thought there'd be a couple more, but. Micah Hyde, kind of.
We want to do that. But, although McDermott, like.
Ferguson.
Yeah, we're getting real long in the tooth there. I do enjoy every time Sean McDermott's asked about Micah Hyde. He basically just, like, shuts it down as quickly as possible.
He smiles and laughs and says, next question.
Hey, basically, you know, Taylor Rapp may not play. Is Micah Hyde going to play? No.
Nope.
Nah. What's the percentage that he's going to play? Zero. I shouldn't say zero.
Dawson Knox.
Oh, Knox as well.
Yep. So, but my point there is like it's also like the fact that these guys kind of like get theirs, and it even helps the guys that have only been here for a year. Like think about a guy like Keon Coleman. Mm-hmm. It's his rookie year. If he again, we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but even if they make the Super Bowl, just getting to the Super Bowl in your rookie year, I feel like would be a huge, huge accolade for any rookie, regardless of position. So. Especially if you're having as much of an impact as Keon Coleman is.
I look at it for the older guys. Mainly it's Allen, it's Dion, it's Milano, it's McDermott, it's those guys. Knox, you know, I think especially McDermott as well, with just how much vitriol he's kind of had to deal with from the fan base. I think a lot of it at times, rightfully so. Some of it, not so much.
And Brandon Bean, too.
And Brandon Bean, in a year in transition. And that's what it will be for you to maybe get your first Super Bowl, or maybe your first Super Bowl appearance with that. It's... It's a hell of a run, man. And they're going to have a lot of draft picks this year. They're going to have more cap space. There is a feeling this is not a one-and-done kind of run here. It's not at all. The Eagles feel more like a team that is kind of getting long in the tooth where,
right. All right,
Hurts really isn't that good. Okay, now maybe the best quarterback in the NFC is our division rival, and this was his first year. Great. You know, Kansas City. What do you have past Travis Kelce? Rashee Rice is not going to play next year. I'm sorry. He's going to get suspended for maybe the entire year, if not a little longer. Worthy's pretty good, but not – you haven't thought he's going to become like the new Tyreek Hill. It's Kelce.
And Kelsey's not getting any younger.
He's not getting any younger, so there's that feeling there. And then for them as well, ooh, the Chargers made the playoffs in their first year with Harbaugh. Denver made the playoffs in their first year with Bo Nix.
And Sean Payton. Second year with Payton. I always write off last year because it was Russell Wilson.
So in the opposite sense, you know, the AFC East is sort of, okay, it's the Bills and everybody else. We'll see what the Patriots can do with Vrabel and the cap space and the draft picks, but Miami seems like they're kind of done. The Jets very much are obviously completely starting over. They're one of the few head coaching and GM openings in the NFL.
The Ravens kind of are in a weird spot.
Well, they're in a weird spot, but also, like, you can't imagine Cincinnati is going to do that again.
Yeah, right.
Because if they do, Zach Taylor's going to get fired, and then they're going to be back because they'll get one of the better head coach candidates because of Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm. I also think with the Bills, with the whole year in transition talk, like, I heard, like, Jeremy and Joe this morning talking about it. Like, the sense of, like, think about Washington, right? Mm-hmm. Washington is playing with house money. They're just, hey, we're just happy to be here. Man, we're in the NFC Championship game.
They are fun.
I can see where people kind of get that way with the Bills, but even though it's a year in transition and you're one step away from the Super Bowl, it's still not that kind of feeling of like, hey, we're just happy to be here. We were expected to be, you know, not great.
The moment they won the AFC East, it became
You won the AFC East by November.
Yeah.
You're still very much in the conversation. This is kind of the expectation. This has never gone away. Like I said before, even in the years where they lost in the divisional round, all of us were picking them to at least get to the championship game, if not the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure, the DeMar Hamlin year, that was a tough year. It was like let's just see how far we can go. I mean, I think we can still get there, but I don't know. And the idea has never gone away. Mm-hmm. Even though all offseason it was, it's a year in transition. They don't have Stephon Diggs. They lost all these veterans. What's going to happen? Everyone's picking every other team. Literally, even the Jets and the Dolphins were getting picked to win the AFC East.
I was going to say, we've all seen the NFL Network picture where every one of them, it's two Dolphins, two Jets, no Bills.
Yes.
Yeah.
So even in all that, I still remember a lot of us thinking, yeah, no, it's fine. They'll still win it. They'll still go on deep in the playoffs. But now I feel like, I don't want to call anybody out here, but I feel like those same people are saying, like, oh, we're just happy to be here. No, we're like, we expected this. We know this. Josh Allen's the quarterback. The Bills are a good team. We knew this. Yeah. The national media did not. But that's where I'm getting at with, like, this whole, like, next step of, like, being an underdog again. Even if they're favored against Kansas City, they're an underdog going into this game. They're going to Kansas City. They've never beat them in the playoffs. They do have trouble winning at Arrowhead. They've done it before, but they have had trouble.
Well, specifically in the playoffs.
Well, in the regular season, too.
No, they've got him in the regular season now.
All of them? I thought there was one or two where they lost in Arrowhead.
Early, but now it's become...
Okay. Well, okay. Maybe that's a little different then. But still, it's the Chiefs in the playoffs. You have to kind of go into this in the mindset of you're still the underdog, even though you're probably the better team. So I just think that, like, the way that everything is kind of shaken out this season, it's still kind of what we always expected or always wanted.
Mm-hmm.
It just maybe wasn't at first we didn't maybe think it was in the cards, right? Like that was like, again, we all thought, you know, hey, they have Josh Allen. They can do whatever they want. It's never gone away.
Yeah. 13 seconds is the last time they've lost at Arrowhead.
Oh.
So,
all right.
And kind of figured it out. 803-0550, the number to call. What do the Bills need to do to finally get past the Chiefs in the playoffs? They've had zero issue beating them in the regular season. They've beaten them the last four times they've played in the regular season, including this year. But there is still that bugaboo of it's the playoffs. What do they have to do? And we go back to the phones here. David is on the line. David, how are we doing today?
Thank you for taking my call, gentlemen. What do we need to do? It's got to be the defense. Watching the defense, how this defense played the last 2 weeks. Definitely going against Henry last week for that great win. Being able to contain that run. Henry's had 100-plus yards almost every single game, and we held them to what it was, 86, 89 yards.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't been really done. Besides that, just basically containing that run, because Isaiah Pacheco, he's been kind of one of those names where he's been showing out. I know he's coming back off of an injury. He hasn't been looking the same, but there's a chance that this game may be that game that he may show out. Offensive side, I have no issues. As long as they continue playing the way that they're playing, I don't think the Bills will have an issue. Josh Allen spreading that ball around to every single target that the defenses are giving to him. So, in reality, I don't see how this game can be anything but coming out with a win, and the Bills going to the Super Bowl this year. And I've been saying it for the last 5 weeks. I have a good feeling it's going to end up being the Bills and the Eagles going to the Super Bowl, because it's going to be kind of hard for the Commanders to try to stop Saquon Barkley with him having the year that he's had this whole year.
Mm-hmm. David, thanks for the call. Pacheco, I will say on this, he's had like one good game since coming back. It was back in September, 19 rushes, 90 yards. He came back at late November. Since then,
he
hasn't been much.
The 90-yard game was before the
injury.
That was,
yeah,
maybe the injury game, actually.
But he hasn't really done anything since.
He surpassed 50 yards one time, and it was in Week 13 against the Chargers. He had 55 yards. Pacheco's not a worry to me. He's not their offense.
Him and Hunter, it is Kelsey. It's Kelsey in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
Your linebackers need to cover well. I think what's nice, though, and why it's tough to bring up the Baltimore game in connection with the Kansas City game, the Bills had to sell out for the run. That's what the game plan was, is do not let Henry get to 25, 26 carries in a game. He only had 16. Baltimore kind of wants to do this for whatever reason in playoff games. They move away from the run for whatever reason.
From their main running back, because they did give the ball to Justice Hill in big moments. So.
That's also the one big issue with Henry, is he can't be your third down back unless it's like third and one. But kind of moving on from that, it's just the Chiefs kind of operate sort of in the same way the Bills do, which is, you know, they're going to go to their slot guys. They're not going to take a ton of shots over the top. They're going to just kind of matriculate the ball down the field. I think a lot of what Buffalo did against Denver, which is first and second down, just no negative plays, get to like third and one, third and two, so that even if a James Cook run or a Josh Allen run doesn't get the first down, they're just going to do it again. They're just going to do it again. And that's kind of what they've set up, is that they're just going to make sure they set up these very deliberate third and shorts, you know, third and manageables, so that, you know, Allen or Mahomes can kind of just make a little magic if they have to, or just hand the ball off to James Cook, or for them, Pacheco and Hunt, and let them kind of carry the day. Both teams, I think, are very deliberate in what they do and very disciplined in what they do. It's why it's so difficult for both teams to lose. While for both of these teams, I would say Baltimore has a higher upside than either of them. They just do not have the floor that both the Bills and Kansas City do.
There's too much variance.
There's too much variance with them, and I think that's ultimately what has cost them in these playoff games. I think it's also what cost the Bills for a number of years in the playoffs, was just too much variance in their performances. You saw those games where they would randomly lose to a Zach Wilson-led Jets team or an Urban Meyer-led Jaguars team, and you're sitting there going like, how? What do you mean? And now this year, yes, they lost two games, or they lost three games. All three were to playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
And the two early in the year were before you made a key trade for Amari Cooper, that while his stats haven't looked great, it's been the spreading out of the wide receivers, spreading out of the offense, that has allowed, you know, an extra corner to not stick on a rookie Keon Coleman or a Khalil Shakir, but to have to go to Amari Cooper to respect that he's out there.
It's been the thought of him being there.
And it has spread it out. And then the Rams game, they played perfect.
Mm.
They played perfect, and you still almost won, and Allen put up six touchdowns. I mean, that was also a game, too, that and Detroit gave me a lot of good feelings about where the offense was, which is, you can score on anybody.
Yeah, because we always talk about, like, the that Billsy loss, where it's just like you lose to that random bad team.
Yep.
And sure, it was kind of close against the Patriots in the first game for a little bit, but you end up closing that out like you're supposed to. All three losses this year, I don't want to say because no loss is ever good, but they were all kind of like good losses, I guess. Like, because in the Ravens game, like, yes, you were starting to come back. You were figuring things out, and your momentum got killed by the trick play. Texans game, you were really coming back. You were knocking on the door, and they gave you all the opportunities.
And you played terribly, too.
Yes. So that one, I guess, is not really a good loss. Again, there's no such thing as a good loss, but looking at it in the bigger picture here. And then the Rams one, too. Like you just said, they played perfect. Like, you can't do anything about that. There's nothing to change in this.
Some of those catches Puka Nacua was making.
Just insane. The one where he's basically in the air.
He's
and his,
so good.
And his, like, he's in the air, and he brings his feet down to the ground without moving the rest of his body.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cool. I guess he's just Mr. Fantastic now, and he can just stretch at will. Great. Thanks.
Yeah, love that. I don't know if I said it completely correctly, so I want to make sure I do here. The Bills have won the last four regular season matchups with the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know. If, yes. I think I said four overall. The Chiefs have won three games against the Bills since 2020, or since the 2020 playoffs. All of them have been the playoffs. They did sweep the Bills in 2020, also beating them in Buffalo early in the year, 26-17, then winning the AFC Championship game, 38-24. Since then, though, the Bills have had their number in the regular season, whether it be at Arrowhead or at Highmark Stadium. And then the Chiefs have had their number in the playoffs, both at Arrowhead and Highmark Stadium. It's such a fun rivalry. It's such a good rivalry. And we were talking a little bit about in the break. I think this becomes like a documentary worthy if Allen just wins on Sunday. And I hate saying it like just Allen wins. It's the Bills win, yes.
Right. But you would be looking at Allen and Mahomes.
You're looking at Allen and Mahomes, and if honestly, they win on Sunday to go to a Super Bowl, and if they win it, yeah. I think immediately this is a documentary.
Depending on how like let's take big picture here too, in terms of the whole like rivalry and history between these two teams from 2020 to now.
Yep.
I mean, you could be looking at like a potentially like decade-long thing here. Let's say all of a sudden, you know, the Bills start winning and it flips. That's also something where you could look at like history in the making, and then like in like 10 years from now, they go back and they say, yeah, let's do a Bills-Jets like 30 for 30. Mm-hmm. Or Bills-Chiefs? Chiefs. Where did I get Jets from?
Bills-Jets, yeah, baby.
Bills-Chiefs 30 for 30 of like, yeah, look at what they did in the first half of the decade, but then look at the Bills in the last half. Like that again, it's very big picture future.
What Manning and Brady was.
Right. And it could be a repeat of that just on a bigger level because at the same time, like, you're always going to think of the quarterbacks first, but both of these teams have had iconic moments that were not from the quarterback. I mean, think of Tyreek Hill throwing with the peace sign or Terrell Bernard having his interception against Patrick Mahomes. Like, there's Gabe Davis's four touchdown game in 13 seconds. Sure, the Bills weren't winning in that, but it was Gabe Davis who kind of gave them the chance to do that.
I mean, and it helps too that like these games regularly are close, and why I've routinely maintained that I think this is a better rivalry right now than Brady and Manning was at this point.
Yeah.
Is because that rivalry was more or less the Colts are really good, and then they play the Patriots.
Yeah.
And then it's a disaster, and then finally Manning and the Colts themselves kind of all figured it out, and they were able to get it done. The Bills and Chiefs since 21 has been close game after close game after close game, iconic moment after iconic moment, Bills getting regular season wins, Chiefs getting playoff wins, and that's where, for me, is if the Bills get over the hump this Sunday, and I think they will, and then they go in and win a Super Bowl, it is now, all right, this is just the premier rivalry in the sport. The media for a long time has seemingly tried to make it about Lamar and Mahomes or Burrow and Mahomes. No. It's Allen and Mahomes. That's who it is. These two teams play each other close. The Bills regularly get results against Kansas City. I know Nick Wright of Fox Sports, I know Buffalo loves him so much. But he has maintained it throughout this season that the team that scares him the most is Buffalo. It is not Cincinnati, a team that only has beaten them since 2022. It's not Baltimore, where the Chiefs kind of have no problem with them either. Like, that's cool that Lamar has more MVPs or is going to have more MVPs than Mahomes. The Bills are the team that regularly get results, both home and away. And I think that's the key for me, too. The Bills, three of their last four wins against the Chiefs, Arrowhead, 21, 38-20 at Arrowhead. That's also, there's a delay in that game with the rainstorm and everything like that. They dominate that game. 22, regular season again. Arrowhead, 24-20. 23, Arrowhead again, 20-17. And then this year, they finally won at Highmark, 30-21. They have the Chiefs' number. It's just, are you do or not in the playoffs? That's really what it is. I mean, I remember having these conversations week 11 where, do you want them to actually lose this week, you know, week 11, so that you could just change it up and maybe get a win in the playoffs? I think they can beat them both times because the Bills have shown they don't fear this team, and they match up just significantly well against them. As long as they're healthy, which, you know, it's hope.
Yeah,
I mean, Taylor Rapp, I think that's a good sign by him. He was literally carted off the field, left with a hip injury. It was non-contact. There was a feeling for me, at least, that it's like, that might be a season, regardless if we win or not. Him day-to-day, that's really good. I like that sign a lot. We'll see about Benford. Concussions are fickle. It's player-to-player. You never know.
Look at Ray Davis, though. I mean, he was out for 2 days?
No, it was the whole week. I mean, we found out Sunday that he was fine.
Oh, okay.
Because when he was active, we found out, okay, he's playing.
Right.
But yeah, it might be the same thing going into Sunday night, just kind of holding with bated breath, like, is he good? Mm-hmm. We don't know.
Yeah.
Because if it's not declared Saturday, it's not that it can never be declared. He's going to be tested, you know, every day. You just hope. I mean,
right.
We'll see. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's take one more call here before we take our next time out. And let's go to Rick here on the line. Rick, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great. This may be the year for the Bills. I was at the last time they won. I was at the championship game in 1964, the last time they won a championship. And, of course, that was in the AFL. But I think this may be the year that I get to remember because they got to shore up their pass defense. I don't know what's going on there because the last part of this Baltimore game, man, they were shredding us, and they were finding too many wide open receivers out there. And I think the key to Kansas City is making sure that we shore up the pass defense. I know they did. It looked like they didn't have an effective rush. It looked like they changed the defensive alignment or something because Lamar had so much time he could have. He could have bought a ticket to the stadium, and I mean it was ridiculous. But they need to shore up the pass defense, and then they can. I think then they can beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, Rick, thanks for the call. And I agree on that point. That last drive was at times hard to watch because you're right. Like there was no pass rush, no one was getting home. Sal Capaccio brought up yesterday, listening with Shobin the Bulldog. There was a play. I think it is the touchdown too likely to almost tie up the game. Where really the problem was, like, Epinesa gets past his offensive lineman, but stands still. And it's basically like, you're not running on us. Lamar is not going to get past us until he makes a move. That's really what it was. And yeah, you'll have to do a little bit of that with Mahomes.
Yeah.
But I don't think a ton. Like, there was the Bills were so deliberate in everything they did against Baltimore. It's frustrating. Don't get me wrong. But they were so deliberate in everything they did where they were like, no. Cool, beat us in the pass. You're not beating us on the run. Kind of a flip of what they've done all year this year on defense, which is, cool, beat us in the run. You won't beat us over the top. You won't beat us passing the ball. They were the exact opposite because of who they were playing. And look, it did take them getting lucky. It kind of did. But that's the name of the game in the playoffs, is just don't hurt yourself and get a little luck. Look at the Chiefs. I mean, look, in the AFC Championship game last year against Baltimore, they were probably going to that game going, they're going to run on us. That's what's going to happen. And I don't know if we match up well against that. What do the Ravens do?
Throw.
Pass the ball. And even then, it was tight to the end for Kansas City. It was tight to the end. And they still end up getting it. It's the name of the game. It's like the Napoleon quote. Never stop your enemy when they're making a mistake.
Yeah.
It's kind of the name of the game in the playoffs. You saw it with Washington, who is not a better team than Detroit. Let them keep making turnovers. Let him keep committing turnovers. I mean, that's kind of why they won. They had a pick six in there. Like, their offense is moving no problem against Washington. They made mistakes. Philadelphia might be the only team talented enough alive in the playoffs currently that can make mistakes and still maybe beat you.
Yeah, just
they might be the only team.
And that's mostly because of Saquon Barkley. Like,
and their defense. Jalen Carter.
Yeah. He's really good at football.
If we play the Eagles, we'll talk about that. But 98 for the Eagles freaks me out. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll keep taking your calls here as we're on until 12 o'clock. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Toughest postseason climb in the history of the sport. And after all that, it's Ohio State together at the mountaintop, champions of college football.
We have our national champion. No one talked about it for like 3 weeks. Love that. Ohio State takes down Notre Dame 34-23 last night. It was way worse than the final score indicates. At one point, in the third quarter, Ohio State was leading 31-7. Leonard gets a few 30-plus yard touchdown passes to Jaden Greathouse to make it 31-23. Ohio State finishes out with a field goal 34-23. Good for our Ryan Day. I mean, for everyone for trashing them, honestly. For them to then go on a run there after losing to Michigan, don't win the Big Ten title, don't even play in the Big Ten title, and then win the national championship, good on them. I thought overall the 12-team playoff was a success. Could it be better? Sure.
That's what the offseason's for.
But I think in the first season it was overall a success. I think Ohio State did show that they probably were the best team left. But I take solace in the fact that outside of a 98-yard fumble return for a touchdown, Texas played Ohio State better. And Arch Manning starts next year. I'm ready, baby. I'm ready.
You know what? I'll give you the Arch Manning one. The other one, come on.
I'm ready. Let's go.
Don't.
They were right there. I'm ready.
They were right there, and they didn't finish it. It's
objectively correct, but I'm choosing to ignore it. They were right there. They're right there. 803-0550, the number to call. We're going to keep getting connected to our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. And let's go with Josh here on the line. Josh, how are we doing?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
Doing very well.
Doing good.
Listen, good. Look, I want to say something about Travis Kelce and the tight ends on Kansas City. Great players get open. I understand that. But here's what I think. For the Bills to have beaten Kansas City earlier this year, they finally put the right emphasis on Travis Kelce. There's a coach, I can't remember who it was, who put signs up in the locker room for Cincinnati saying, "Have you chucked Travis Kelce today?" Put it all over. He is the straw that stirs the drink as much as Patrick Mahomes, if you ask me.
100%.
More important than the running game, more important than the receivers. If you're in a league where you're allowed to chuck the receiver at the line of scrimmage up to, I think, 5 yards, and I know there's motion that doesn't help, you have to chuck Kelce. You have to play man. I've pulled my hair out watching teams let him pass from zone to zone. He will kill your zone defense. You have to glue someone to him and get some backup in your zones. I cannot emphasize that he is the A number one priority, and if you shut him down, then you will beat him for a second time this year. The Bills can win this game. We've got Cook running. We looked very good defensively, except for some glitches in the passing, but Lamar was real good. It's Kelce. It is Kelce and the other tight end that make Patrick Mahomes go, and I'm interested in your thoughts.
Josh, man, thanks for the call. Fully agree. In the first matchup in Week 11, the Bills keyed in on it. Travis Kelce had 4 targets, 2 catches, 8 yards. The other tight end, Noah Gray, 5 targets, 4 catches, 23 yards. Watching that Houston game, other Josh, sorry, because the call was Josh too, so I didn't want to sound like I was talking to him. But against Houston, dude, I was losing my mind.
Yeah.
Because it's the same thing. And to the caller's point, yeah, great players get open. But watching Kelce just sit wide open in the middle of the field, in the middle of the zone, and have no explosivity to his plays,
no.
But just be so wide open that he's going to take the ball for another 10, 15 yards. Exhausting. It's exhausting. And I think the Bills have gotten to a point. They've played this team enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another key part, too, and this is where learning even anything potentially about Milano tomorrow, because the Bills are off today. Tomorrow will be a walkthrough, but we'll kind of get an indication about where him, Benford, and Rapp are. I think it's why it's key to have Milano, Dorian Williams, and Terrell Bernard there, and Taron Johnson, of course, as well, to be able to – look, you got to be on him. I mean, you got to be on him to the point where you're whispering sweet nothings into his ear. You know, he cannot get away from you. And I think that's right. The Chiefs have not been an explosive team, but their Hall of Fame players, Mahomes and Kelce, continue to perform at a Hall of Fame level, and especially in the playoffs. Kelce has gotten so good in these last 2 to 3 years of just being able to maintain his style of play in the key moments, not to be this dominant fantasy tight end in week 6, but instead be, oh man, is he losing it? I think he's losing it, guys. You know, he's dating Taylor Swift. He's thinking about the next stage of his life. And then the wild card round rolls around, or the divisional round rolls around, and he's like, ha-ha! 12 targets, 10 catches, 150 yards, and a touchdown. That's just what he does.
He almost had that. He had 117 yards on 7 catches and 1 touchdown. Longest was 49 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like you said, look what they did against him in the beginning of the year. They're midway through the year.
They
neutralized him.
I think that's
they took him out of the game.
Yeah, I think it's a big thing. Now, Hollywood Brown being added into this equation does make it potentially a bit more difficult. Worthy also himself has started to come on a bit more. They're not really getting him going, though, in necessarily like stretching the field, down the field, just straight up vertical routes. But, I mean, he had a gorgeous catch, by the way, against Houston. That, you know, he went up and got it. His body's kind of moving at a weird angle, but he went up and got it. So they've got other elements, but you're still seeing a team that just is – like, don't give me the rush versus rest. I think that is still somewhat true to the Chiefs, but I believe it more if at any point this year they looked any sort of convincing on offense.
Hollywood Brown, though, last game, 2 targets, no catches, no yards.
Yeah, it was Worthy that led the way. 5 targets, 4 catches, 61 yards, and that touchdown.
I mean, even even DeAndre Hopkins, too, who they added him and everyone started freaking out a little bit, everyone around the league. He also, no catches, no yards on 3 targets, I think. No, 1 target. 1 target, no catch. So you look at their receiving room, and it's literally just Travis Kelce last game. That is poor game planning from the Texans. The Bills won't make that mistake. But with that being said, yes, the Bills are familiar with the Chiefs. The Chiefs are also familiar with the Bills. They know what the Bills can do well. They know what the Bills can stop effectively, which is Travis Kelce. They haven't always been able to do it, but recently they have been able to very well contain him.
By the way, I looked at the wrong Worthy stat line. That was against the Bills in week 11. Last week, he was 6 targets, 5 catches, 45 yards. My bad. I was looking at that. I'm like, where's Kelce in this? Oh, I'm looking at the wrong game. Yeah.
That's good. Like,
that's good on me.
That's what I'm saying, though, is like the Chiefs will know kind of what to expect from the Bills defense. So there is that worry of like, all right, well, you've neutralized Travis Kelce. Here's Hollywood Brown. Here is DeAndre Hopkins. Here is Xavier Worthy. So each team's going to have their own bag of tricks, right? Like, they're not going to have showcased anything that they're going to play in this game. But at the same time, I just feel confident in the Bills linebacking core that, yes, they'll be keyed in on Kelce, but they're also going to be very important in other parts of the game. And they're going to be able to make differences in those parts of the game as well. It's not going to be like this, okay, you guys are on Kelce and Noah Gray, I think, is the other tight end. Everyone else takes care of the wide receivers. Like, the linebackers are going to get their due in terms of other positions in terms of other parts of the game as well.
Yeah, yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's go to Ryan here on the line. Ryan, how we doing?
Josh, Zach, love the show, guys. Love the topic. I'm not trying to be a hater. Zach, you know how much I love the Bills. But to be honest, man, we have a really good roster, and we had the same roster last year, and same event we all had Diggs as well. It's not Josh. Josh is MVP quarterback, if you ask me. He should have won last year and this year as well. It's not Josh, man. But how many losses the Bills have with Josh Allen as a quarterback, with him having the ball last? None. How many times we have lost in one position in games? None. Number one, none. That's crazy. It's coaching, man. I don't know what it is with McDermott. He just cannot get over that road win hump. He hasn't won a game on the road. It's the same with Josh Allen. It's killing Josh's odds and his stats in the playoffs. That's my thoughts. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Ryan. Love that you're confident. Love that you're confident.
McDermott coached a good game against the Ravens on Sunday. That was
We've got to get away from 13 seconds. We've got to get away from it.
Obviously,
coaches get better.
Yeah.
He has been better all year. And we were getting to the point where the Rams game, we're talking about a game where the Bills had like less than a percentage point to win a game, and we're freaking out because he didn't make the exact right decision that might allow the Bills to have a miraculous win.
Yeah.
He has been very good this year.
And I think also, too, the whole narrative of, you know, not winning the big playoff games and things like that, that gets thrown out of the window because of the win on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a big playoff game against a team that's better than you, that's on paper better than you, and probably in certain areas better than you. But he game planned correctly, ran the game script correctly, and did what he needed to do at the right times. Like, I was very skeptical of the field goal at first, but then once I got the math correct, and once I saw that, you know, the Ravens went down too fast, it was like, all right, this was the right choice. You know, like, even if the Ravens would have tied the game, the Bills would have still had a minute and a half to go down the field and score again.
Two timeouts, all they needed was a field goal. And yeah. Tyler Bass
had already hit a 51-yarder.
Yeah, so, I mean, even if you were
in
nervous.
In the harder end, too. In the end where it's kind of harder to kick field goals. So I really think that, obviously, yes, you want him to beat the Chiefs. That's the last hurdle before, obviously, the biggest hurdle, which is the Super Bowl. But the last hurdle that he hasn't been able to get by is the Chiefs.
I think they're due. I think McDermott and the Bills have looked better this year. They look more like a complete team.
Yeah, I can't give him 100% credit yet because you still have to prove that one last thing. But up to this point, everything has gone extremely well for him. He has coached things correctly. He has made the right call at the right time. Sure, there's been a few minor mistakes here and there.
But I'll always argue this. Watch the rest of the NFL.
Right. Look at Dan Campbell last weekend.
You will find a coach that frustrates the hell out of you.
Yeah. Like there was the whole – and I love Dan Campbell as a coach. Don't get me wrong. But he made too many of those I'm Dan Campbell. I'm going to make the crazy play call here. Like I'm going to get a little wacky here, everybody.
Yeah. Crazy.
You did that too many times, Dan. It's not funny anymore. You're losing, and your wide receiver just threw into double coverage. Stop. Mm-hmm. Like that. There's a time and a place for all that. So like that's where you have to kind of like take the blinders off and look at everyone else and realize like how good we have it.
It's going well. This year feels different. They feel like a more mature team, even though it's a lot of younger guys, a lot of newer guys. And they're playing well. I love how they match up against Kansas City. I can't wait for this game. 803-0550, the number to call. We got to take a quick time out here before we wrap up today's show, although we could get one or two more calls here before we wrap things up. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt, hanging with you here for just a few more minutes on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We had a lot of fun today getting connected with our fans, and when we do that, it's brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Didn't really get to touch on the other side of the bracket, the NFC. I love the division round so much, Josh. I love it so much. You see a team like Detroit who, you know, we're not in the thick of it with Lions fans, but there probably was a feeling of last ride kind of deal. You know, Aaron Glenn, Ben Johnson, both probably leaving for head coaching jobs, although the Ben Johnson one felt a little bit better when you were like, oh, he's going to the Raiders, not the Bears.
Yeah.
Now he's with the Bears now. That's tough. And it was just – it was I felt for Detroit fans there. But it was kind of like, yeah, welcome to being successful. Welcome to now being a team that, like, every year the regular season's fun, but, like, it's about the postseason. And they got by, I think it's inarguable now, the greatest rookie quarterback of all time. Now, I'm not saying Jaden Daniels is now all of a sudden a top three quarterback or anything like that. But in terms of rookie seasons, taking a 4-win Washington team to a 12-win season and now 2 road playoff wins against the 1 seed, mind you, as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. He is so much fun to watch. We mentioned Texans, Chiefs. Texans gave up 8 sacks. CJ, make a decision, baby. I mean, what are we doing here? and cover Kelsey. That game was so frustrating. The refs were one thing. The rest of the game was equally as frustrating. And the Eagles-Rams, to get Sunday going, unbelievable that the Rams had a chance to get back in that game. Unbelievable. In the elements, it's snowing. It looks beautiful. Saquon Barkley has 270-yard touchdowns or whatever it was. They were both over 50.
Where the one where he's running down the field, hitting himself in the head.
Oh, because he's thinking, I got it. I won the game.
Yeah, like...
Say, yeah, 62-yard or 78-yarder. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And yet, the Rams drive right down the field and score. And then they get the ball again.
Yeah.
And there's an unbelievable catch. I think this one was by Puka right on the sideline to set it up. They ultimately, you know, fourth down. They it seemed like they were playing for a flag, which is bogus, and I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
But for them to be in that game was unbelievable. And it was a great start to the Sunday. Then ultimately going into the close game with Bills and Ravens. Just, I love the divisional round, and now I think we've got an awesome conference championship slate. You get Bills, Chiefs, round 95, and then you get an NFC East all matchup there with Washington and Philadelphia. Philadelphia has felt like a team, the only team left in the four in the playoffs that has not played like a perfect game in like a month. And then Washington is just white hot. You don't know what you're going to get with them, with how good Jane Daniels has been.
I really wonder, though, like when the other shoe's going to drop, because their wide receiver room, while it's doing what it needs to do, it's Terry McLaurin.
Like, De'Ami Brown, baby.
De'Ami Brown, yes.
Didn't do a thing in the regular season. He's averaging like 85 yards per game.
How much longer until the bottom drops out and it's just back to Terry McLaurin again? Like that, is it the fact that he's stepping up? Is it Jaden Daniels is kind of just activating everybody? Like, I want the Commanders to win so bad, though. I really do.
Have fun. Both those games on Sunday. Commanders, Eagles, 3 o'clock. Bills, Chiefs, 6:30. We're going to keep talking about these all week. But coming up next, after a quick timeout, Sabres Live. Sabres fell yesterday in their first game out west against Seattle. They're back in action tonight. Not early afternoon, though. Late one tonight, 10 p.m. puck drop. But get more on the Sabres after a quick timeout. Sabres Live up next. This is WGR.